is a complicated disease. The more we do these things in the name of enjoyment, immediately suffering is offered to us. So imagine a question, I want to enjoy, why am I not able to enjoy? So one should intelligently ask this question. So a seeker of truth who is going to the Vedas asks this question, and then he begins to inquire, Atato Brahma Jignasa. Let me understand, there must be some higher meaning to life. Life is not just running after these flickering pleasures. There must be something higher. Not just eating and sleeping. Sometimes man is very proud of socializing. We have such a well-defined society. Even honeybees are the society, isn't it? Don't they live in groups? They are even far more organized than our industries. They don't have any ego clashes and all. They are very happy. So they are ready to keep a king and a queen, and they are coming, going and coming and working very nicely. So how can we be proud of our society? What is the greatness of modern society? So man doesn't inquire. What is the nature of modern man and old man? So the purpose is, in the earlier times, when you say Atata Brahma Jignasa, such a life of inquiry should begin with practicing complete celibacy. You should restrain your mind and senses always, in the beginning especially, because the mind and senses generally tend to be very loose and unrestricted. They want to enjoy unrestrictedly. So when you restrain them and control them, gradually, by such control and by such tapasya, one gets the spiritual acumen to understand what is the truth, what is the reality that is behind this dull matter. One can understand. What is the philosophy of modern man? The modern philosophy is, you go on enjoying sex life, and then when the woman becomes pregnant, you kill the child in the womb. You abort the child. This is modern philosophy. Let's see the difference between the two. You enjoy unrestrictedly, and then when you get a disease, you find a medicine for that. Oh, you enjoy illicit sex and you have renal disease, now you will find out a medicine for that. And then you find a medicine and you do something with the medicine, and then it doesn't work, you find a newer medicine, you go on trying out permutations and combinations of varieties of different chemical elements to find out what is the best medicine. And then you find out categories of people having little different shades of those diseases, and find the varieties of medicine. You go on speculating more and more and more and more. In fact, modern science is nothing but speculation. That's all. Vedas means, people understand that the absolute truth is not very quick to perceive. The Lord is called as Adokshija. He is called as unborn, and who is beyond the range of the senses. So unless one begins to understand this reality, that in this world, it appears there is a lot of happiness. But actually there is no happiness. If you try to enjoy the so-called happiness of this world, you will be victimized. It's like the ocean. Water, water everywhere, not a drop to drink. Everywhere it appears there is water, but you drink little water, it is saltish. Similarly, it appears this world is full of happiness everywhere, for your eyes, for your nose, for your ears. But you try to enjoy, somebody is beating you. It's like stealing a fruit from your neighbor's garden. You climb up the mango tree, and when you're catching the mango, somebody beats you from behind, get a slap. The same way you see happening in this material world. Because we are not meant to enjoy at all like that. Like the way that we are being taught in the modern times, to enjoy unrestrictedly. But one who controls, restrains his mind and senses, for him the special facility is given. His mind becomes sharper and he can understand the subject matter of Vedas. That is very much required. So in the Vedic times there was a class of Brahmanas who are having controlled mind and senses, and they could understand the spiritual truth. And they lived a pure life of austerity and penances and following the Vedic injunctions, and they achieved a higher and higher and higher subtler and subtler status and came to the platform of pure spiritual, where they enjoyed boundless bliss in their lives, as we read from the scriptures. And anybody who even makes an attempt to practice such a life, even a small, tiny, insignificant attempt, even such a person can appreciate the Vedic life. Let's see, all of us living in Kali Yuga, how much can we follow the Vedas perfectly? We are trying to follow to the best of the ability, trying to follow some principles and trying to follow some instructions. Even if we follow in an insignificant way, still we get results. What to speak of one who is following it perfectly 100%. How wonderful result they can get. So the Vedas are like a very, very, very lovely mother who is very concerned about her child. Do you think a mother will do any harm to the child? Mother can never do any harm to the child. In fact, there can be no greater benefactor for a child than one's mother. Because mother is always concerned about the needs of the child, what the child should do, what the child should not do. If the child is doing a wrong thing, mother will give a slap. If the child is doing a right thing, and mother will appreciate the child. And even before the child asks the mother, the child never demands the mother, will you give me milk tomorrow? Or give me a bond that will give me milk for the coming 2 years? Child never asks the mother, but the child knows. But the mother automatically attends to the needs of the child. In the same way, the Vedas are like a very caring mother. On the contrary, we can clearly prove the scientists, the benefits that they are offering, it's like the benefits offered by a witch, by a very dangerous witch. The witch may dress like a mother and come. Like when Putana came to Vrindavan, she dressed herself beautifully like a goddess of fortune. She looks so beautiful. It is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, she appeared like a sharp sword that is kept in a very beautiful casing, which had very nice decorations on it. Anybody who sees those decorations will be immediately allured by the beauty of the cover. But inside the cover, what was there?
Sharp.
There was a sharp sword. In the same way, what modern science is offering us appears to be very attractive and sweet from outside, but inside there is a sharp sword, there is a sharp razor. It is going to cut us and give us enormous suffering. We can prove from various points of view, science, from all fields we can prove. Take physics, take chemistry, take everything, every field. You all are coming from educated background, you know what science has done to the modern man. You just go through the industrial area, you find so much air pollution, so much water pollution, so much noise pollution. People are plugged in the companies and working hard in the companies like that. Man is never supposed to work hard like that. And there are much greater dangers awaiting us in the future because of science. Like there is global warming because of science. There are many things like that. You can say how the melting of the ice caps, all these things are happening. Even the entropy of the universe is increasing because of many industries. Many other reasons are there like that. So today there is a widespread discussion going on everywhere all around the world about the great disasters that have been caused by science. Like radioactive wastage, they don't know what to do with that. They have this plastic. When the plastic has to be disposed, it doesn't get destroyed easily. It doesn't get destroyed at all, it just remains as it is. So what will you do with plastic wastage? What will you do with radioactive wastage? So they have no solution for these things. Now, modern man, his goal is, we want to make a lot of money. And in order to do that, let the entire world go to hell. This is their policy. Like for example, Japanese people, they always produce ceramic items. Why? Because when it is destroyed, actually ceramic is not a consumable, but if it is destroyed, they can produce more and more. Only then the production rate will be more, then company can be having a lot of money. We can make more and more money. And what about the wastage? If the thing cannot be disposed, what to do with that? That is not our problem. That is problem of wastage department. Let them worry. So leave it to them. So the same way, everyone is adopting ways and means to ultimately torture the living beings in this world. You see, the living beings are supposed to live in accordance with nature, happily. If you're living with nature, you get the fruits from the nature, you get grains from the field, and you have cow to give milk. By drinking cow milk, one can have a very nutritious nutritious vitamins in that, and one can have a healthy body as well as a healthy brain substance, so that they can understand the spiritual subject matter. The brain tissues are made very fine-tuned, so that one can understand the Vedic subject. And at the same time, one gets the grains and fruits very easily. One can lead a very simple life. In fact, even a few decades ago, people worked for 3-4 months in a year, and the rest of the time they would completely absorb themselves in the Vedas, the Vedic studies. Because they knew the goal of life is not to just increase our necessities. The goal of life is to ascend back to the kingdom of God. The body that we are offered now is a wonderful facility for us to concentrate on the Vedic knowledge and act according to them, and at the end of life return back to the kingdom of God. So Jesus said, bridge is not a place where you should construct a house. Bridge is meant for crossing. In the same way, this human body is awarded to us for crossing from the material world to the spiritual world. That's the purpose of this material human form of life. But scientists are somehow trying to hold on the life. You are getting old, don't worry, we will put some facelift and keep you young. Don't worry, you are getting grey hairs, put some dyes and look young. Don't worry, we are still trying to adjust the situation and help you all somehow. You are going to die, don't worry, put some tubes in the nose and ears and all over your body and somehow hold on your life. Don't worry, you give half the breath and we will give you half oxygen. Somehow, make you survive. Let us see how to hold you on. Somehow we will not let you down. This is what scientists are trying to do. But the Vedas are not trying to hold you on into this world. Because they know this world is meant for leaving, not for staying. Nobody can stay in this world. We have to leave and go back to the kingdom of God. So the Vedic life is very natural. The other day when I was coming from Bombay, when I saw a big long pipeline, I could not stop laughing for a long time. Because I was laughing, seeing the modern advancement, that actually good drinking water is coming in the rivers in the villages. Instead of staying in villages and drinking nice water, they take long pipes to the cities where there is no water available. They take water in long pipes. They have big trucks carrying truckloads of rice and truckloads of grocery and truckloads of vegetables, taking all these things. And for the milk, if you hear what processing they do in the milk, you will be shocked. The milk that comes to our house in a packet, we don't know what it is. I don't know how much fraction of milk is there in that, only God knows. This is a processing thing, what's going on. So this is city life, which is so horrible. So what have you achieved by modern science? Somebody is asking, why are we not having enough credibility in scientists? This is enough to show what credibility we should have in scientists. So this world is a fool's paradise, where everyone is a fool. And if you are an intelligent man, and you are proposing some wonderful truth, and everyone shouts at you, don't speak, get out of here. And everyone starts stoning you, if you speak the truth. That is why another good question was asked. He was asking, if I follow Newton, nobody rebels. When I follow God or Vedas, then why do people call me blind? Because they are afraid. Because when one follows God, especially for example if there is a village where thieves are flourishing like anything, they go to all the jamindar's house and they steal money and nobody is there to stop them, everyone is in trouble. And then if a policeman comes, well dressed in policeman's clothes and comes in a jeep, how will the thieves find him? Will they find him very comfortable? They will want to kick him out of the village. They will tell him, you have no business here, get out of the village. In fact, with their big gang of robbers, they will try to kick him out or beat him or do something to him. Because they don't want him there. Similarly, the world is a fool's paradise where there are hundreds and thousands of fools. And these fools don't want any wise man. If a wise man comes and tells them, my dear fools, you are not supposed to enjoy in this world. You are supposed to surrender to God. Here is the real knowledge. By following this knowledge, you can go back to the kingdom of God. And every fool says, what is this? He's not allowing us to go on with our fool's business. He's coming and stopping us. Then everyone wants to beat him. Everyone wants to call him blind. They want to call sharp words. And they want to somehow get rid of him. This is the type of society we are living in today. So nobody wants to talk of God because we have come to this world only because we are rebellious of God. In fact, this world is a world of atheistic people. It's specially created and designed for atheistic people. So that when you look around, you can become a wonderful atheist. Because you don't see God and you think that you are independent and you think you can enjoy. So people are very comfortable putting a covering, putting a veneer in their eyes. Not to see God, it's like a boy who closes himself in with a blanket lying in the bed and he doesn't even open the window or the door to see the sunlight. So people want to continue snoring and sleeping in their bed. They don't want to wake up. But as we sing in the song of Lord Chaitanya, Jiva Jago, Jiva Jago, Gaura Chandra Bole, Kota Nidra, Java Maya, Pishachira Kole. You are lying in the witch of Maya. Wake up sleeping souls, he said. Who is that witch? It's the witch of scientific advancement, especially very applicable to the modern times. She is not a scientist. What the thing that is offered by the scientist is not at all like a motherly facility. It looks like a motherly facility. When you think, how nice, you just process which you get electricity. You just, you have phone to connect yourself to so many people. It appears that all these facilities are giving you more and more comfort, But gradually, just wait and see, a time will come and when all these things will lead to a big, big disaster. You all know the accident, you all know the Hiroshima Nagasaki bomb blast. I got to see in television some 5-6 years ago. How horrible it is. Man is talking of brotherhood and peace, but then when it comes to the question of threatening his own self-gratification, he is ready to torture and kill. Not even kill, it is even worse than killing, to make a person live, but torture his body like that. Man becomes ready to suck the blood and torture the other fellow living beings simply for the sake of his insatiable lust. So in Hiroshima and Nagasaki you can see how people are suffering because of the radioactive reaction. So this is only an example. Now they have Star Wars and in the entire world they have created a big disturbance. So Prabhupada used to say, when we used to go in bullock carts, of course we were slow, but we were very safe. Now they have found out so many motor cars and they are running zoom, 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 zoom. They are going here and there very fastly. And Americans, because they are very advanced, what they do? They have roads in which they go at a speed of 300 kilometers per hour or 250 kilometers per hour. Very, very fast. So they can die also very fastly. Go at a breakneck speed. And if there is an accident in one car, then all the cars smash with one another and hundreds of people die. So they have brought about a great danger to life. In America, if you know, the maximum deaths happen by accidents. Yesterday, we were talking to one Madhya Charitabhu in Pune. He is working for a car company. He was telling, in India currently, they are selling lakhs of cars. Like he was selling about 3 lakh cars per month or something like that. 2 lakh or 3 lakh he was selling per month. So many cars are being sold. He was telling, we don't have any roads in India now. All the roads are getting blocked now. There is no place. But the cars are increasing. Everyone wants to have more and more cars like that. So gradually, people will ensure that we also become like America. We can have maximum death rate coming from accidents. It's only a matter of time, in a decade or so. We can also compete with America in showing the higher death rate. How fastly we can also die with accidents. This is the condition today. So science is like a witch, a very dangerous witch, deadly witch. Because science, now if you see what 700 years of Mughal rule and 200 years of British rule has not done, the modern science and modern advancement in the past 2-3 decades has done a very great disservice to Indians. Especially it has nipped from the bud the strong faith that Indians have in the Vedas. And by such following, they were so peaceful and so happy. Now their happy lives are shattered now into pieces. I can go and see, mother is living in one place and father is living in another place, son is living abroad. And they are very happy. They say they claim to be happy only because son is sending thousands of dollars. And city is such a congested life. So even for the body there is no peace. Even for the mind there is no peace. Always you are threatened. Your life is a threat. And for the soul, there is no question about soul for them. They don't even know there is a soul in the body. This is the modern life now. How can one have any faith in the scientist? And how can one have any faith in science? We have no credibility in scientists. But in the Vedas, we can show how people who are sincere followers of the Vedas, what speak in the past, even now in the modern times, in ISKCON, Srila Prabhupada taught to the Americans and gradually all over the world, the knowledge of Vedas spread. And now in ISKCON, anybody following the principles of Vedas very properly in their lives, even those who live outside the temple, they can see the result. You just follow the ISKCON philosophy properly in your life. You chant 16 rounds every day, you follow the 4 regulative principles, just see what difference you see in your life. It makes such a lot of difference in our life. So our mind becomes so pacified and so cool and so satisfied. And such a peace cannot be achieved even by millions of dollars per month. Even if it is millions of dollars, you cannot be peaceful. In fact, you will become more agitated if somebody gives you so much money. That the peace one gets in the body, and the body, because of not doing sensory education, body is so peaceful. I remember in the college days, boys used to come and ask me questions because I was little religious. They used to ask me, what to do for this sex desire? It is so pressing, it is so burning the mind, that we adopt many artificial methods of satisfying the mind and senses. But that leads to much more burning of body and mind. What is to be done? They used to practically go crazy. Now, I feel so bad that I could not give them good knowledge when they were asking me. Now in ISKCON we are following the pure philosophy, and body, mind and soul can be had such wonderful harmony and peace. Even in this world we feel as if we are in Vaikuntha. What to speak of leaving the body and going to the spiritual world. Even in this world one can live such a happy life. So, the more you advance in spiritual life, the more you can see the Vedas to be the real mother. Like the real mother is concerned about the benefit and welfare of the child. Similarly, the Vedas are the real mother which are giving you a wonderful program. By following it, your body becomes very peaceful, your mind becomes peaceful, and you again resituate yourself in the platform of the soul, in which you enjoy unlimited bliss. that bliss is inexplicable. It is explained in Bhagavad Gita 6th chapter, how a person in true samadhi, samadhi doesn't mean sitting in one place and closing the eyes. Samadhi means 24 hours fixing one's consciousness in Krishna. That is like samadhi. You can distribute books, you can preach, you can dance, you can sing, you can cook. That is, one can completely absorb one's concentration on Krishna. Then it is called a real samadhi. In that state of samadhi, one feels I am in spiritual world. I am already in spiritual world. That is why it is said, yam labdhva chaparam labham manite na adhikam tataha. After achieving this kind of happiness, one feels there is no greater gain to be achieved at all. So such a person doesn't even hanker to go to the spiritual world. He is already happy here. He says now, Krishna, he says, janame janame hoi, ehi abhilash. Birth after birth, what am I desiring? Tandare charane sevi bhakta sannivas. Krishna, all I want from you is birth after birth, put me in the midst of devotees. That will completely satisfy me. You don't even have to take me to a spiritual world. I am not so keen to go that. Why? I am already happy here. My body, mind and soul are so completely peaceful and so happy. This is actually spiritual life. You can see that. So, credibility in the Vedas will increase not by intellectual word jugglery, not by constant argument. These things can never bring us to any conclusion. The process is to take it up. Take it up yourself. Yourself practice it. The proof of the pudding is in its eating. Do it yourself and you can see the results by yourself. And following Vedas like that takes us to the full stop of the material world. And then takes us back to the spiritual world. But doing experiments in science, it only makes us more and more speculative and increases our birth and death. And there is no real solution at all. And then there was another question about if people know that they are worshipping Krishna, we can go back to Goloka. Why are people going to many demigods? As I was telling you just now, the Vedas actually want to accommodate all kinds of people, from the most degraded to the most exalted. And everyone is given a particular path by which he will not reject the Vedas, but he will accept it and follow it according to his standard. Like somebody is allowed to offer meat to Kali, to Durga. And then he can eat. Can any of us offer it to Durga and eat? Can we offer meat to Durga and eat? We cannot. Why? Because you already crossed those stages now. You come to a much higher stage where you know that killing animals is very sinful. There is health consideration, economic consideration, religious consideration, in all respects killing animal is bad. So we have come to a higher stage. But those who are in that stage, for them animal killing is not prohibited. They can kill a goat on a Amavasya day and they can offer it to Kali. And then they can accept it like that. So in that way there are many prescriptions given for varieties of worshippers in different modes. As Krishna says, Kama is Pashtarishita Jnana Prapadjante Anya Devata, he says. My dear Rajana, besides me there are Anya Devata also. So they can worship them, those who are very much motivated by selfish desires. Kama is Pashtarishita Jnana, that of Kama. That is a material desires. You want to have a healthy body, you worship the Surya. You want to have a beautiful wife, you worship Shiva. You want to have a beautiful husband, you can worship Uma. You want to remove all the obstacles, you worship Ganesh. So everyone, there is a prescription given, a long list is given like that. You can worship him or worship him, worship him, all these things. For those who are material desires. And these people also, they also worship them with very, very strong faith for some period of time. Like in a year, 1 month or 2 months, they will be very, very strictly following the vrata and all, vows. But after the period is over, they will be like animals. They will behave like anything. Like they don't drink, they don't smoke, they don't do this, they don't do that, they wear a particular dress, they increase their beard. They do so many things, they do that. And they take to a lot of austerities. But once that 40 days or 3 months period is over, after that back to square A. doing all nonsense again, like anybody else in the material world. So these people have actually no proper understanding of religion. But as I told you, like a mother who is concerned about the welfare of every child, they are offering some kind of religion even for them. Okay, at least you make a beginning of religion by surrendering to some authority. So they are also considered to be surrendering to God in their own platform. But the highest platform of surrender is to do things which God wants us to do. He gave a nice example. You all heard the example? Like the shopkeeper will give what the child wants, whereas mother will give what the child needs. So this is real surrender. Telling God that you do what is best for me. That is the real platform of surrender. So Krishna says that there are many, many different classes of worshippers. Somebody may worship demigods. Somebody may not accept God to be a personality. So for them, Krishna has this Brahma Jyoti. Okay, be satisfied with the impersonal Brahman. Like that. For everyone, Krishna has got something in religion to offer so that they will not reject religion. So they can make a beginning and then gradually progress and ultimately come to the platform of surrendering to Krishna. Hare Krishna, I'll stop here if anybody has any questions.
Actually,
people may say, who knows after what's going to happen after death. This is perfectly fitted in the platform of ignorance. Because those who are in the mode of ignorance, they cannot think of anything even little beyond. See, even today, in Kali Yuga, you see, you know, people put more faith in such organizations and such religious institutions who are able to show something which we can see with our senses. Right? Like somebody is producing some ashes. And they say, oh, thousands and millions of people are following such a person. Somebody is producing gold. Or somebody can give you some material benefit in your life. So people go to such people, such so-called religious organizations. Such organizations have nothing to do with religion at all. It is purely like any other business company. It's like give and take. So they have nothing to do with God at all. So people put faith in their senses more than the Shastras. So naturally people think, no, I'm not able to see what happens to a person after his death, so why should I believe? So of course, if you don't want to believe, you can go on in the world of ignorance. In darkness, you cannot understand anything. So you have to first of all come to the goodness platform. That is why Prabhupada said, first you follow the four regulative principles, then you can become a human being. People are not even human beings in Kali Yuga. That's the problem. Because if you go to a little and little higher and higher platform, you can see through the difficulties of this world. For example, somebody lying in a gutter after being fully drunk, he cannot understand his suffering, can he? He will not know his suffering. But you, who is not drunk, you can clearly see his suffering. Because you are at a higher platform. Now you are not in a drunken state, so you can see. So drinking and not drinking is both on a material platform only. I am talking about the intoxication that comes from wealth, that comes from education, that comes from beauty, that comes from various opulences. That is also like a drunken state. So we are all in such a drunken state that we cannot see. But when you become a devotee, that means devotees are not in a drunken state because they have come out of such infatuation and they can see people in a drunken state. Get the point? When they see somebody who is drunken and who is intoxicated because of, drunken means not actually the liquor. What I am talking is about Janma, Aishwarya, Shruta, Shri. Because of all these things, if somebody is very proud, they become completely blind to see God. They cannot see. They cannot see life after death. When we become free from these things and go to higher and higher stages, you can see through everything clearly. See, as long as you are in a mode of ignorance, you will see everyone to be his body. That's all. Why people are afraid of death? Because they think they are the body. They think everything is finished at death. That's why they use the term dead end, you know. Dead end means what? That means everything ends there. There is nothing beyond. This is the proof that these people are in a mode of ignorance. They don't know anything beyond. So they are proving their ignorance. So if you are continuing to be in ignorance, you can never understand these truths. So we have to go to a little higher stage, higher and higher platform, so that we can see the knowledge. We need the spectacles of knowledge to see. So by associating with devotees and by following the regulative principles, gradually we will go to higher and higher stage when we can see through that this body is simply a dead lump of, a slab of flesh. It cannot happen.
How to convince
people? No, you cannot convince them. No, you can't. Not possible. And we are not trying to convince ignorant people because they have not even come to classes.
Are convincing at least to give
them knowledge? Well, we can give, you know, by common sense, by intuitive understanding, by near-death experience, by past life memories. We have given in our book many things. So we can speak in their language and try to make them understand. Like if they are in ignorant platform, we also go to ignorant platform and explain to them. Then they will appreciate. Because they put faith only in their eyes. Okay, we tell them, okay, put faith in the past life memory. We can show in Stevenson's research work, you know, 2000 cases of reincarnation, or we can prove in the platform of near-death experience how people go out of their bodies. They will have more faith in this. If you tell Bhagavad Gita, they may not believe.
But still,
saying
that I am happy here.
No, I am. That is like a pig in a ditch. Pig is very happy in his ditch.
What is the solution for that?
Be happy, you should say. You are happy? Be happy. See, your pig in a ditch or a buffalo in a gutter will never admit he is not happy. Will never admit. Because you can see him dipping again and again. Very happy in villages you have seen. Because we come from villages, we have seen buffaloes. Buffalo, sometimes the master comes to take back the buffalo. He doesn't want to go, he goes further deep inside. Like that, when you go to take him.
Just like you are a Jivatma, you can go up to the highest destination like Brahmaji. Beyond that, you cannot go out of the material world. It is the highest standard of life that you can experience within the material world. So, demigods are like, just like, they are just like us only, but they are having supernatural powers within them because of their performance of...
He also knows that, but he is asking you, these people know this, why are they worshipping demigods? The question is, why should they?
Achha. They can't reach perfect goal if they worship demigods.
Yes.
So, Mr. Krishna,
even if knowing,
then there will be no birth and death.
Yeah. The point for which the common people worship demigods is because they want immediate results. Just like if you go to a grocer and you ask him, sir, please give me, see, suppose a child goes to a grocer and he asks, give me some chocolate, this is the money. So he will immediately give. He will not ask, okay, open your mouth, let me see whether your gums are not proper or not. Like that, he will not inquire. He will just give whatever he wants. On the contrary, he goes to his father and asks, my dear father, please give me chocolate. His father will say, no, your gums are not in a proper condition, so you better don't take chocolate. So he may give, he may not give, or he will say, please wait. But it depends that to whom you go. By going to demigods, we can get quick results. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, by worshipping demigods, a person gets very quickly results. But by worshipping Krishna, the result is like, you may get, you may not get, or you have to wait. So, this is like a father who is really caring for his child. Krishna is like a father who is really caring for his child. And the demigods like grocers, who have to give whatever the benedictions they have been asked. Like Vritrasura, he asked benediction from Lord Shiva that, please give me the benediction that whoever had, the persons whose head I touch will be shattered into pieces. So, these kinds of benedictions we can only get from demigods. Of course, we can get from Krishna also, but the point is, we can very quickly get. Krishna will see whether it is good or not, and then he will give, like a concerned father. Since people get quick results from demigods, they go to the demigods. There are two things, basically. One is shreyas and one is prayas. Prayas means immediate happiness. And shreyas means ultimate happiness. Prayas means what? That if a child is there, if you give him two chocolates, if you keep two chocolates in one hand and say 500 rupee note in another hand, what will he take? He will take the chocolates. Why? Because he is getting the immediate result. So the people who worship the demigods are having this childlike mentality. If the child doesn't have the knowledge that by getting this 500 rupee, I will have to wait for some time, but I can get thousands of chocolates. Right? So this is the case with the worshippers of demigods.
I would like to ask one question. I'm sorry to repeat. You said earlier that knowledge, supreme knowledge, could be attained through following the mode of inductive approach. What did you mean by that?
Yeah, there are basically two kinds of categories of gaining knowledge. One is inductive method and another is deductive method. In inductive method, you accept an authority. Just like if I want to know who my mother is, I go, is it?
Okay.
Yeah. In In deductive knowledge, a person, he just like we want to know who our mother is, then we go who our father is, then we go to our mother and ask her, my dear mother, who is my father? Then he will, she will point out, and then we accept it. So there is a lot of saving of trouble. But if a person, he says, why should I accept the authority of the mother? Why should not I go for myself and check out who is my father? Then he will wander throughout the universe checking the qualities of his, what you call, semen DNS with other personalities. And he might not come to the conclusion also. So this is called inductive method. A person, he wants to gain knowledge by himself. But as I stated in the lecture, that there are four defects in human beings: imperfect senses, being illusion, committing mistakes, and cheating propensity. So because of these defects, no one can give perfect knowledge to you. You yourself cannot also gain perfect knowledge by your own endeavor. So there is a need of a bona fide spiritual master who can guide. Just like mother, she gives you the knowledge of the father. The spiritual master, he gives you the knowledge of Krishna.
Yes? There is a fundamental disagreement here I would like to express. That the law of induction, it means when you find a particular trait in n number of things, it's very likely one object of search. It is not what you said according to knowledge what I have.